Okay, we are holding on. Brachas daf samach beis. Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva says Rabbi Akiva. Pamachas nichnasti achar Rabbi Yeshua lebeis Akisei. One time I followed Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom. Lamarti mimenu shleish advarim. I learned three things from him. Lamarti sheinifrim mizuch mayrev. I learned that you're not. Excuse me, you're not feeling 100%. I learned that you're not supposed to defecate facing either east-west, right, based on the Gemara that we saw earlier, so that it shouldn't be towards Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. Eletzav and Vidarim, rather north-south. You're not supposed to uncover yourself when you're still standing up. You should rather first get into a sitting position and then only afterwards cover yourself. Which the aside basically is that you know only uncover, you know, the minimum amount possible, right, and in the most modest way possible. You're not supposed to wipe yourself with your right hand, rather with your left hand. Only Ben Azai said to Rabbi Akiva, "Ad kani asta ponecha b'rabcha, to that extent, you were so brazen with your Rebbe, right, that watched him doing all these things. Rikita said, it's Torah. I have to learn. I have to learn how to, you know, the halachas of the hanhagas beisaki say. So it's Torah. So this is how you, this is how I'm supposed, this is how I learn it. Tani b'lener b'aysa b'nazai yener. B'nazai said, pamachas nichnasti achar Rabbi Akiva beisaki say. One time I followed Rabbi Akiva into the bathroom. L'mati m'men ha'shloshi d'varim. I learned three things from him. L'mati she'nifrim m'mizuch u'mayruv. I learned that you're not supposed to defecate facing east-west. Rather north-south. You're not supposed to uncover yourself in a standing position, rather only after you're already sitting. And I learned that you're not supposed to wipe with your right hand, rather with your left hand. So, it would seem that Ben Azai was totally mekabel what his very Rabbi Akiva told him about Torah, to the extent that he felt like he needed to follow his Rabbi Akiva into the bathroom as well, because perhaps there would be more chidushim that he would learn, even though Rabbi Akiva already told him the chidushim that he learned from his own Rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua, but perhaps there would be more chidushim that he could learn from his Rabbi. But in fact, he just confirmed the original three chidushim that Rabbi Akiva had said that he witnessed in Rabbi Yeshua, and there were no further chidushim. Rabbi Yehuda said to Ben Azai, to this extent you were so brazen with your Rabbi, he says, it's Tyra, I have to learn. Rav Kahana al gana tu se puriye de Rav. Rav Kahana hid under Rav's bed. Shame de sach, de sachak, ve also tzachav. So he heard that when Rav was having relations with his wife, so first he had a little bit of idle chatter with her. So Rashi says it was like, sicha b'tele shal ritzu tashmish, to kind of like get her in the mood to have tashmish. And then he joked around with her, to, you know, light banter, to, I guess, further get them excited about it, Vasa Tzachov, and then he did took care of his needs, meaning then he actually had intercourse with her. Which, by the way, this is brought down the halacha, that the union between husband and wife is supposed to be mitaych simcha, and mitaych sicha. The Rambam brings it down. If I'm not mistaken, it's also brought down in Shulchan Aruch. This is at least one of the Makairas. Amar Lei, so Rav Kahana couldn't help himself, and he spoke up in the middle. Dami Pume de Abba Kedalei Sarif Tafshili, said the mouth of Abba, which was the name of Rav, so I guess he was a Talmud Chavar, he's referring to him by his name, is as if he's never eaten a dish in his life, meaning you seem to be, you know, carrying on in a way that's like really to get yourself all excited and really to indulge your taiva over here, and it seems strange. Amalei, so Rav said to him, Kahana Hachat. He said, Kahana, are you here? Puk, get out. It's not Derech Eretz. Amalei, Taira, he will learn. So he said to him, it's Taira. I have to learn. How else am I supposed to learn this? So obviously, you have to be holding an exceedingly high madrigo, like the Tanaim and the Amirai Makadashim, to be able to say something like this. And it seems like Rav was Makal. Rav didn't tell him, no, I don't care, get out. Fine, says him for them. So why do you wipe with your left hand and not your right hand? Because the Torah was given with the right hand, so to speak, of God. Shinamar, as it says, from his right, the religion of fire. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Omar, because it's close to the mouth. Because you're always putting your right hand in your mouth, so it's not a good idea to be wiping with it. You know, you don't want to get all those germs in your mouth. Because you use your right hand to tie the tefillin on. Which, I would imagine that most of us would find that difficult to understand. If anything, I would think that the hand that the tefillin is actually wrapped around should be, you know, more in line, so to speak, to not be the one to wipe with. But you see, from Rish Lakish, not like that. It's the opposite. The one which is used to do the mitzvah, so that's the one that has, like, you know, the inyan of not wiping with that hand. Because you use your right hand to show the timing of the Torah, the trup of the Torah, as she says, like, the different signals for the trup. The Gemara says the machlokes tanaim. And the Ezra Ibn Eishah Eichel Mar, the Ezra says that you use your right hand to eat with it. So again, it sounds, you know, like it could be a kavod type of a thing, right? That it's not mechubadik for the hand that you eat with to use that same hand to wipe. But it could also be an issue of germs, like we said before. Since you're eating with your right hand, so you don't want to get all these germs in your mouth. Excuse me once again. I'm really sorry. I am a bit under the weather. This is because you use your right hand to write with. So over here with the chumdikait issue. Rabbi Kiva says because you use your right hand to make the signals of the trap. I'm Rabbi Tanchum Erchani Light. Says Rabbi Tanchum Erchani Light. So Rabbi Sakisa Nizam Shlosh in the bottom. Someone who is modest in the bathroom is saved from three things: min al-chashim, min al-krabim, min al-mazikin, from snakes, scorpions, and the shaydin. So actually, says snakes and scorpions because since you're quiet and you move around in a very, you know, modest, quiet, low-key way, so the snakes and scorpions don't get, like, you know, all excited or disturbed by your presence, and therefore they don't attack you. And the shaydin, now she says, kind of have rachmanis on you because you're acting in such a modest way. You'll also have settled dreams. You won't have wild dreams. And now she says, again, that has to do with the shaydim because they won't bother you. There was a certain bathroom in Tiberi. So even in the middle of the day, even if it was two people that would go in there, the presence of the shaydim was so powerful that they would get damaged by the shaydim. Malai mit zakei, but Rabbi Yehuda and Rashi would be able to go in one, each one by themselves, and they wouldn't get damaged. I'm doing Rabbanu and Mr. Fizu, so the Rabbanu saying you're not afraid. Amri lahu anan Kabbalah gemirinun. We have a Messiah, Kabbalah be sakisa tsniusa. The Messiah of the bathroom is modesty, vishtikusa and being quiet. Kabbalah the isur vishtikusa and. Messiah, when it comes to suffering, is to be quiet, to accept the judgment of Hashem, and not to rail against Hashem, chas v'shalom. And then you daven, like we said earlier, you know, not to go on too much about it, but to daven. Abaye, if I remember correctly, his parents, he was orphaned from his parents as a baby, so there was a woman who raised him. So this woman, she would have a sheep, and she would tell him always to take with him into the bathroom, I guess because there was less chance that the shaydim would bother him since he had another presence with him, if you will. Why not a kid goat? Sire Michlef. Because a sire, the shaydim are referred to as sire, and goats are referred to as sire, so okay, you know, they could get confused and think that it's one of their buddies. I guess they kind of, I think Rashi says they kind of look like like goats. Rava Mikamedehevi Reisha, Rava before he became Rashi Shiva, Karka Shalei Basav Chizdam Guza Balakna. So he would go to the bathroom right behind the wall of his house. His wife would kind of like take this like rattle and make noise with it when he was behind the wall. So the excuse me once again, so the Shaydim would be scared off. After he became Rosh Hashiva, so they made a little opening in the wall, and she would stick her hand through the opening and rest her hand on his head while he was taking care of his business. Rashi says because since he was a Shiva, so the Shadim would have more kin of him. They would want to bother him more. If you're behind a wall so you can defecate right there, you don't have to distance yourself. If it's an open field, so you have to distance yourself enough so that someone cannot hear the sound of the waste or the gas coming out. Isi Barnosan Masni Hachi. Isi Barnosan said over by Sala as follows. If it's behind a wall, so then it has to be far enough that someone won't be able to hear the sound of the waste or the gas coming out. And if he's in the open field, then you have to be far enough away that nobody could see you. It says that people that used to watch over the olive press operation in order to make sure that it would be tahor, so if they needed to defecate, they would just go behind the nearest wall and defecate right away. And we still can assume that everything is tahor. Says Gemara B'taras Akeb, that's a special kula that they gave so that they should be able to quickly go back to watching the taharis. Tashma, so I'll bring a different proof. Kamayicha kaviyu taharin. How much can they distance themselves that we could still assume that everything is tahar, that nothing happened in the interim? Kadeshi heirayehu, then you should be able to see it. You should be able to see the press. Or at least the structure that houses the press. Shiny Yochle Taharos, Takilu Rabban. So again, so we see that you're able to see them. The Gemara said, no, it's a special kula by the Yochle Taharos. So they should be able to guard everything with Taharos. Rashi Omer, Michael, Manshein, Chavir, Yochle, Dok, Omer, Issi Ben Osan. What does it mean when Issi Ben Osan said that you have to be far enough away that nobody could see him? Because Manshein, Chavir, Yochle, is Peruoy. It has to be that you're far enough away that he can't see the part of your body that you're uncovering. But the general outline of your figure he can see. A certain eulogy, Rav Nachman was in the crowd when he was eulogizing Omar, and he said about the deceased, "Hi, Tsanua Bar Chayzavava, this man was modest in his ways." Omar Rav Nachman, "Atailis ba'adele be'sakise v'adati Tsanua Eloi, v'sane in current Tsanua l'mishu Tsanua be'sakise." So Nachman spoke up in the middle of the eulogy, and he said, "Did you ever follow this man into the bathroom that you know that he's modest? Because the Brisa says that you can only call someone modest if they're modest, even in the bathroom where nobody else sees them except for Hashem." Says Gemara, "Rav Nachman, my nafkali minay. Why did Rav Nachman have to speak up in the middle of the eulogy? What does he care? Let him praise him however he feels like it." Says Gemara, "Mishum desanu, because we have a Brisa that says kashem shnifroyim amesim kach nifroyim unasavdonim." Just like punishment is exacted from the deceased, so too punishment is exacted from the eulogizers. And from those in the crowd that answer after them, yeah, woe is, you know, to the loss of such a person. Right. In other words, when they're eulogized with praise which is not befitting of them, so it's not good for them, and it's not good for the eulogizer, and it's not good for the people listening. So what the halacha says you do is that you talk about his good points, and you can add a little bit, but not too much. Tanu Rabbanan. Ezeu Tanua. Who's modest? This is a person who defecates during the nighttime in the same place that he defecates during the daytime. Ain't he? Is that so? A person should accustom himself to defecating early in the morning while it's still dark, and then at night after it gets dark, so that he shouldn't have to distance himself when he goes to the bathroom. Furthermore, during the day, if Rabba would need to defecate, he would distance himself up until a mil. But if he needed to defecate during the nighttime, then he would tell his helper, you know, just make a place for me in the you know, right on the side of the street. And Rabbi Zera would say to his helper, you know, Joe, go check if there's anybody behind the wall of the base medrash, because I need to use the facility. So the Brisa shouldn't read in the place. The way that you defecate during the day, like Rashi says, that only uncovering, you know, the absolute minimum that you need in order to be able to, you know, to do your business in cleanliness, and also to only uncover yourself once you're sitting down, etc. But in terms of distancing yourself, you don't have to distance yourself during the night time, since anyway, and nobody could see you. You could say that the person said in the place. Then it's chalakaren is obviously referring to a corner. If during the night time you could just turn the corner and, you know, not middle of the street or something like that, so then you should do that even during the night. Gufo, we learned earlier, Amar Avidim Rav. Lo'ilum yani gada misatzma yishachis v'arvis. A person should accustom himself to taking care of his business morning and night when it's still dark or already dark. So that he should not have to distance himself. We also have a voice like that. The Benazai said, Ashkim and say, Arab, say, get up early and do your business, and after it's already nightfall, do your business. So that you shouldn't have to distance yourself. Mashmish v'shev. So the word mashmish, I'm not exactly sure what the precise English translation is, but Rashi describes that it's kind of like using a stone or something like that to stimulate the anus in order to, so that the muscular movements, I think, of the rectum and the lower part of the colon, you know, should make those muscular movements to push out the waste. So do that before you sit down. But don't do that after sitting down. Because if you do it after sitting down, it can make you susceptible to witchcraft, even if it's done in a faraway place like Aspamio. And if you forgot and you did this stimulation thing after you sat down already, my takante, what should you do? Kikai, when you're finishing, you get up, lema hachises follows loyli loyli, not me, meaning you don't have any power over me. Loysachim loysachtim, right? These are what Rashi says are different names of the sorcery and witchcraft, which has to do with hemorrhoids. Lehani blema hani, not this, not part of it. It says Rashi, or all of it, not all of it, or part of it. Lechashi, 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 lechashi. No magic of male sorcerers and no magic of female sorcerers. Pretty sure the place can say that nowadays we're not really used for sorcery. It's kind of like a dead art, if you can call it an art, or dead craft, if you will. So we're not really chushish of these things. By the way, just as a side note, if you've ever noticed that after defecating that you get up off the toilet and you feel like you have to do more, it could very well be because the wiping with the toilet paper, you know, stimulated the anus and the rectum in a way that got the muscles, you know, to squeeze again, such that that could be the reason why you feel like you have to go again. Just agav urchenu, may as well mention that. Tanya ben Azai Omer, al kol mishkav shchav, kachut ben akarka ben Azai says, you can lie down on any bed, but not on the ground. Using the ground as a bed is not a good idea. You can sit on anything, but don't sit on a kaira. Rashi says, it's dangerous, you might fall off. Amar Shmuel, a kaira, by the way, is a beam. Amar Shmuel, sheinavam v'nashachak yistam v'farzla. Sleeping when dawn comes is as good as istam l'farzla. What's istam? How does Rashi touch this over here? Sire Balaz, Rashi gives us a Laz, so they say Chisum. So I want to say that what we're talking about over here is where you heat up the metal and then pour cold water over it, which strengthens it a lot. Further in the Gemara, Yitzhiya Bawana Shachar Kisum Al-Farzal, also defecating at dawn is also good for the body, like the Chisum of the metal. Bar Kapara Hava Mazen Mili B'Dinri. Bar Kapara would sell advice for money. Nowadays, that's a big, it's a big parnasa nowadays. You know, you have, what do they call it? Life coaches, right? Life coaches, counselors, therapists, you know, people are selling good advice and, you know, in good, direction and counsel for good money. So this already started in the time of Amir Rahim. Bar Kapara was, selling, good counsel. So he said like this. It sounds like he was giving nutritional advice. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like he was, you know, like a nutritionist. Ad chafan techoil. Well, you should make sure to eat while you're still feeling the rumblings of hunger, because that's when it really benefits your body. Ad tzachis shasei. Make sure to drink while you're still feeling the pangs of thirst, because that's when it's fully beneficial for your body. Ad rasla kidroch shvoichem. While your pot is still boiling, pour it out. Which means, Rashi explains, that you make sure to defecate when you feel that rumbling in your stomach. Because that's when, you know, I guess everything will come out properly. So if you hear the horn blowing in Rome, you know, that means that everybody wants to get their hands on the fig produce, so make sure you go and sell your figs, and if your father's selling you the figs and he's sleeping, so go take care of it for him. Make sure to sell your produce when it's the high season. Said Abai to the Rabbanim. One second, let's just get the place over here. When you enter the pathways of Mechuzo, which is the name of a town, in order to go out to the field, I assume what he means by that is to, you know, to take care of their business. So don't look to either side. Because maybe there are women taking care of their own business there, and it's not appropriate to look at them. Others have the gears of inshe, just people. There might be people there. It's not appropriate to look at people while they're taking care of their business. I assume he means goyim. Right? I assume he means that. But it could be that he doesn't mean goyim. It could be that there are just people that went there before and distanced themselves far enough. And just, you know, he's trying to find an open spot. So it could be that, you know, just don't look. Rav Safra Olabes Akise. Rav Safra was in the bathroom. Also, Rabbi Abba Nachli Abava. So apparently this was a bathroom that had walls around it. So Rabbi Abba came and he kind of cleared his throat or grunted a little bit by the door, to basically indicating, like, you know, is anybody there? Why he didn't knock on the door, I'm not sure. Yeah, but he probably went something, you know, he probably did, you know, something like that. See if anybody was there. Amar Leilei Omar, Rav Safra said, come on in. Basa Denafak, when Rav Safra came out, Amar Leilei Adhashta Leilei Lesar, V'gamad Lach Mili Desar. Said, what, you've never gone to the bathroom before and learned the halachas having to do with the bathroom? So he said before that Shadim are called Sawyer, so the bathroom is also. Rashi says a different pshat. I don't remember where I got my pshat from, but Rashi says that what, you've been to Rome before and learned how to not be modest in the bathroom? In either way, Rabbi Abba was not impressed with the fact that Rav Safra talked to him while he was in the bathroom. He said, Lava Chitan, don't we have a mission that says Madura Hashem, there was a fire in the fireplace in the Azara for the Kahan to warm themselves up by it. Ubeis Akise Shel Kavod, and there was an honorable bathroom, Vizel Yakvod, what was the honor? Matzai Noel, if you found it locked, Vyadu Hashem Shamanim, so you know that there's someone inside. Matzai Pasuach, Vyadu Hashem Shamanim, if you found it open, so then you know that there's nobody inside. Alma Lava Yacharu, so we see that it's not appropriate to converse, you know, with someone who's in the bathroom, or for the person in the bathroom to converse with him. So says the Gemara, but who's Savar Mesukanu? Obviously, Rav Safra knew about that Mishnah, just he thought that Rabbi Abba maybe really had to go, and that he was in danger. The Sanya, as we learned in the Braise, that if the feces goes back up into the body, so it could bring a person to a sickness called Yidraikon, Sila Nachayza Mevyasadim Yidraikon. If the urine that needs to come out goes back up into the body, then it can bring a person to a sickness called the Yerokain. So that's why he did it. Rabbi Lazar Olabes Akise. Rabbi Lazar entered the bathroom. Asa Huparsha Dachke. So a certain Persian or Roman. I think they bring it down in a different gears of a Roman. I mean, the Hemshech Ligmar sounds like it's talking about a Roman guy. So see, yeah, they bring down a different gears of Rima. A certain Roman Gentile came in and pushed him out of the way. Not exactly the most polite individual. Hamrib Lazar and Alfix, Rabbi Lazar didn't have a choice. He got up and he left the bathroom. Also, Darkoina Shamte the Karkashe. A snake came along and bit out the anus of a Gentile. Karyale Rabbi Lazar, Vatin Adam Tachtecha. He said, I will put a person in your place. Altaki Adam al Adam, Kiridas Edom, which is a reference to a Roman. So Hashem put someone else in his place. Vamar Lahara Gacha Vatachas Alecha. So David was talking to Shaul and saying, you know, I could have killed you, but I had compassion on you. So the Gemara says, Valmar, Valmartin, why does it say Valmar? And he said, it should have said Valmarti, and I said. Meaning I said to myself I would kill you, but then I didn't. Why does it say, and it in the feminine was compassion on you? It should have said, I was compassion on you. Omer Rabbi Lazar, Omer Le David, the Shaul. So Rabbi Elazar says, this is what David was saying to Shaul. Ben ha-taira ben ha-rigata. From the taira, you should have been killed. Sha'arei ra'ay defata, because you're chasing after me to kill me. Ha-taira amra, and the taira said, ba'la harga chashka, ba'la hargali. Someone's coming to kill you, so beat him to it and kill him first. So that's the Omar Lahargacha that Hashem said to kill you, meaning because Hashem and the Torah told us this principle. Ella, so what was the compassion? Tznius Shaisa B'cha. Tznius, which is a feminine tense of the word. It's a feminine word. So your modesty, Hi Chasa Lecha, that's what brought about compassion on you. Mahi, what's this referring to? The Chsiv, as it says, Vayavay al Gidrei Satzayin al Aderech. He came to the area, the pens of sheep. There was a cave over there. Shaul went into the cave to be meisech raglov, which means to take care of his business. Tano, and then the Rebbe said, "Gedel lefim in gedel." With a wall, he went behind one wall, behind another wall, in one cave into another cave. Meaning, he was very, very modest. Lahasech. Why does he use this language of lahasech to refer to taking care of his business? I'm going to be lazim shesikichatz a sukkah to show that he covered himself up like a sukkah. So David secretly, quietly cut off the corner of his garment. The reason why David did this was so that later when he would scream from atop the opposite mountain, he would be able to hold up the piece of garment to prove to Shaul that he was within his reach to kill him. Someone who denigrates clothing eventually will not benefit from them. Shenemar, as it says, Vamelach David Zagan Mabayomim. David was very old. They covered up with clothing, but he just wouldn't do it. Wouldn't warm him up. I mean, there's an obvious question over here. Like, why is this called that he was Mevazim Begadim? I mean, he was doing it to save his life. He was doing it to try to prove to Shaul that there's no reason for Shaul to chase after him and that he loves him, etc. So, what else could he have done? You know, what. So that I'm not sure. The only thought that comes to mind is, I mean, there's two thoughts that come to mind. Maybe you could say it's a mitzias. It's a mitzias. Lamai said this was a bizayin. Even though you're right, he had to do it, but Seif Kol Seif, it was a mitzias. But I don't like that shot, because if it's something that you have to do, so then why should a person wind up suffering because of it? The other shot that I'm thinking is maybe, but again, where is there any indication whatsoever to this, is that maybe he cut it in a way that ruined it. And theoretically, he could have cut it in a way that wouldn't have ruined it. But, you know, that's just kind of like a left field type, not left field, but like kind of just like a guess, you know, like a stab in the dark. Okay, im Hashem esischa biyorach mincha, so Hashem incited you against me. Oh, Rabbi Lazar, I'm going to ask Baruch of David. So Rabbi Lazar explains that Hashem said to David, Macy's curiously, you're calling me an inciter? I'm going to cause you to stumble if you think that I'm an insider. So taka, I'm going to be an insider, and I'm going to cause you to stumble in something that even cheder children know it. Anyway, so the chsiv, as it says, when you count the Jewish people, so they have to give a shekel or a chatzi shekel, they have to give money as a kaifer nefesh, so that the counting shouldn't cause plague to befall them. Miyad, immediately, Vayamat Satan al Yisrael, the Satan stood upon the Jewish people. Chsiv, Vayasa, said David by him, and he incited David against him. Lamer Lech, when he is Yisrael, go count the Jewish people. Vechim, the Maninu, Leshakim, and Kaifer, and he counted them without taking any Kaifer, without taking any money. Chsiv, as it says, Vayitan Hashem Dever be Yisrael, Miyabakim Adi Ismaid. Hashem placed a plague upon the Jewish people from the morning until the time of the time. Ma Ismaid, what does that mean, the time of the set time? Amr Shmuel Saba. The elderly Shmuel, the son-in-law of Rabbi Chanina, which made Rabbi Chanina said the name of Rabbi Chanina. From the time when the Tamid would be shechted in the morning until the time that its blood would be sprinkled. Rabbi Chanina says no, until midday. Rabbi Chanina says no, until midday. Rabbi Chanina says so he said to the destroying angel in the numerous multitude nation, Amr Elazar, Amr Elazar, Baruch Hu Malach. So Elazar explains that Hashem said to the Malach, Toli Rav Shvem, take the greatest of them, Sheish Bali Parameham Kama Chayvis, that him being taken away is enough to settle the score on numerous debts, so to speak, that they owe. But Yisushal Meis Avishai Mitzriya Sheshakal Kerubi Shal Sanhedrin. So Avishai, the son of Tzuriya, died, who was as great as the majority of the Sanhedrin combined. in the destruction Hashem saw, and he went back, meaning he decided to do it. Myra, what did he see? Amar Avraham Yaakov Avinu. He saw Yaakov. Tachsiv Yomer Yaakov Kasher Ra'om. Yaakov said when he saw them. Shmuel Amar Efreshel. Meaning, what schus was it that Hashem used, so to speak, to stop the plague? Shmuel Amar Efreshel Yitzchok Ra. Shmuel says he saw the ashes of Yitzchok. Shemar, as it says, Elokim Yireh Le'aseh. The Almighty will see the sheep. Yitzchok Nafcha Amar Kesef Kippurim Ra. Yitzchok Nafcha says that he saw the original money of Kaifer that was given when the Jews were counted in the building of the Mishkan. Shinora says, "Lokach tes kesef kipurim is b'nei salva gaimer." And the hemshach of the pasuk refers to it as a Rashi points out as a zikaring, as a remembrance, meaning that this chus will stand them in good stead even later. Yoichanan number Beis Hamikdash. You saw the Beis Hamikdash. Tchsiv b'har Hashem yekavoy. You will be seen on the mountain of God. Plegi b'Rabbi Yaakov, v'Rid v'Rav Shmuel b'Arnach. Many yichadam b'kesef kipurim ra. One says that it was the money of the kaifer in the midbar by the Mishkan. Chandam b'Beis Hamikdash ra. And one says, you saw the Beis Hamikdash. Istavro, k'mandam b'Beis Hamikdash ra. Makes more sense to say that, like the one who said he saw the Beis Hamikdash, meaning that was the schus. The schus of the Mikdash. And emar shayayom yirayayim b'har Hashem yiroi. That'll be said today. I guess that's an indication of that, you know. Forever and ever, this chus stands, that Hashem will see this chus. Leikonas adam l'harbais v'maklai, v'chulei, my kapandio. What does kapandio mean? I'm a rabba kapandio kishma. Kapandio means taking a diagonal instead of going around. So you take a diagonal as a shortcut. I'm a rabba kapandio. Rav Chana bar Adam, shvide Rav Sam, abri Rav Mari, amar, kamanda amar inish adam akifna edrei. Instead of going around all these rows of houses, El Bahal, just go in over here in this shortcut. If someone went into a shul not intending to use it as a shortcut, and then once he's there, he's thinking, you know, if I go out the other way, so it'll be a shortcut, so then that's okay. If there used to be a path here, and then they built a shul over here, then you're allowed to use it as a shortcut because it used to be a path here. Someone comes into shul to daven. You're allowed to then go out on the other side so that it should be a shortcut for where you're going afterwards. And some have a girsa of that. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do that because it shows chavivus of the shul that you're kind of like going, you know, coming in one way, going out the other, so that you go through the whole shul. Shenemar says, and the hemshech of the pasuk says that those that would come in from one side would go out the other side. Remember, spitting is all the more so that you're not allowed to do in Harbais. If you spit on the Temple Mount nowadays, it's as if you're spitting, so to speak, in the eye of Hashem. It says, my eye and my heart will be there all the days. Spitting in a shul is mutter. This is obvious from the Mefarshim and the Paiskim that it's talking about back in the days when they had dirt floors. Right, nowadays it would not be mutter. Says Gemara, and you'll see from the Hemshech of the Gemara anyway that it's obvious like that. Neither the Hava Minol, just like by shoes, Maminol Baharabai is Aser. Basically, is mutter. Just like when it comes to wearing shoes, it's only Aser on Harabais, but in the shul you're allowed to wear your shoes. After Kika Baharabais, the Aser is Ganes Shari. So to spitting is only Aser on Harabais, but in the shul is mutter. And the place can bring down also wearing your backpack or your walking stick. Or having your open wallet is also mutter in shul. One thing brought down in the place is that you should not have revealed weapons when you go into a shul. You really should conceal them. So this is not so nagia in America so much, but in Eretz Yisrael it's very nagia. There are a lot of people that walk around with guns. And the halacha says that really you shouldn't have a weapon which is revealed when you go into a shul. So they should try to cover it up. Okay. So says the Gemara further. Amalei Rav Rava. The Amalei Ravina Rava. Amalei Rav Adi Bar Masna Rava. So someone asked the question whether it was a Papa Ravina or Rav Adi Bar Masna. Adi Alef Yimino Nelef Mikapandio. Why are you learning out from shoes? Learning out from shortcuts. That just like shortcuts is also in a shul, so do spitting should be also in a shul. Well, the Tana learns out spitting from shoes, and you're telling me to learn out spitting from shortcut? Mahi, what's this referring to? Sani learned the Bryce. Like, Kanis Adam Harbais. Like, Makli Shu Yadav, like, Minolai Shu Ragulai. Like, Mois, that's Rim Levis Dinai. And from Dalsay Mushal is Lacherov. Lea Senok, Pandio, or Kiko Mikamachim. So you can't go into. You can't enter the Temple Mount with your walking stick, with your shoes, with your money, which is in your, you know, wrapped up in your garments. Which there's a Taisus I have written down on the side that in Bava Metzia Daf Chavav Amud Aleph, there's a Taisus that learns that it's only if the wallet is like exposed, but if it's mamish inside, so then it would be okay. You can't have your sack slung on your shoulder. You can't use the Temple Mount as a shortcut, and all the more so that you're not allowed to spit. So we see that the spitting is learned out from a shortcut. Sorry, if I cared. That spitting is a kalvachimra from shoes. And shoes, which is not considered, you know, degrading. Nevertheless, the Torah says you take off your shoes when you enter a holy area. So spitting, which is considered degrading, all the more so, it should be also in Harbais. You don't need to come onto that area. Mordechai would not go to the gate of the king wearing sackcloth. Sackcloth is not disgusting. Nevertheless, even when it comes to a human king, we see that it's inappropriate. So spitting, which is disgusting, all the more so that when you're coming to the palace of the king of all kings, it for sure should be usher. So we see that spitting is learned not from shoes, not from shortcut. So he said to him, this is what I meant to ask. And the Bryce is learning it out l'chumra. So let's go l'chumra both ways. We'll say that Harbais, which is also even by shoe, will learn spitting out from there. That it's also awesome. Because the Knesset is the middle, but a shul where you're allowed to wear your shoes, at the Aleph Minol Heter, so instead of learning out from shoes that it's mutter to spit in the shul, so let's learn out from shortcuts that it's aser to spit in the shul. So says Rava, it's like your house. When it comes to your house, what would bother you is if someone would use it as a shortcut. But people don't care if some people are wearing shoes or spitting in their house. Again, it's obvious in the time they had dirt floors. Nowadays that we don't have dirt floors, obviously people would be very mocked, and therefore it's obvious that it would be aser in the shul. So it's only shortcutting, which is aser, but wearing shoes or spitting is mutter. Again, it's only in the time we have dirt floors, and even there, the place would say you should rub it into the dirt floor so that it's not nicker. But again, as I mentioned, it's obvious that nowadays it would be totally aser to spit on the floor of a shul, just like you would not want someone to spit on the floor of your house. I saw an interesting maisa with Rav Shamshon Pinkus Zatzal, that he one time came home, and he lit up a cigarette and immediately, you know, took like one puff, immediately threw it on the floor and put it out on the floor of his house with his shoes. And his wife said to him, "My hi, what is going on over here?" And this was definitely out of character for Rav Shamshon Pinkus. So he said, "Well, I'll explain it to you. I just saw someone in shul put out a cigarette on the floor. And the halacha is..." And at first I was thinking that, what a horrible bizayin, right? And then I realized that I don't want this guy to get an einish. So I thought to myself that since the halacha says that whatever you don't mind doing in your own house, so you're allowed to do in shul, so I figured that if I'll show Hashem, so to speak, that there is someone out there that doesn't mind putting out a cigarette on the floor of his own house, so then it'll mitigate the din in Shemayim against this person. It's tremendous, both Avos Yisrael and Chochmah, and Rav Shamshon Pinkus.